We're holding on Pei Amud Beis, the fourth line from the bottom. The Mishnah had said, so we discussed in the Mishnah the case of a Swiss, and we distinguished between the two kinds of Swiss. Swiss Adam, somebody who was born normally and afterwards was mutilated, and a Swiss Adam who we said was born who was born infertile, and we talked about in the Gemara yesterday various simonim by which we know that he's a Swiss. So now, after discussing all that and discussing the question,
you said a Swiss Adam for both cases.
Did I? I meant Swiss Adam for the second one. So then we discussed in the Mishnah which one of them is Yibum and Chalitza relevant to, and which one not. Where we had a machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer about that. Rabbi Akiva saying that a Swiss Adam is Shayef to Chalitza because he had Shasa Kosher, a Swiss Chama no because he never had Shasa Kosher, and Rabbi Eliezer saying the other way around because a Swiss Chama can be cured whereas a Swiss Adam can't. So now, at that point, the Mishnah continues, Hasris loicholitz v'leim yabim v'chein ailonis kola. The Mishnah continued that a soris, as well as an ailonis, a soris doesn't do chalitza or yibum, and similarly, an ailonis does not do chalitza or yibum. So, katoni sris drumya d'ailonis. So we notice the Mishnah is putting a sris and an ailonis in the same breath. Therefore, teaching us ma ailonis bidei shamayim. So, therefore, implying that just like an ailonis is bidei shamayim, and now, of course, it is possible the same way as they could do an operation on a boy when he's young. Like I was brought up the other day, for example, about the castrati, where they would do that when they were children. It is possible to do similar things to a girl when she's little, but it's uncommon, and it was certainly uncommon in the times, if they ever did it at all, in the times of the Gemara, given that all the relevant structures are internal, and it would be a lot harder to get to them with the surgical methods they had in those days. So therefore, we can assume that an ailonis, ma ailonis bidei shamayim, when we describe an ailonis, we're talking evidently about one who is that way since birth. Af soris bidei shamayim, the same way, the soris, who is in the same sentence, must be bidei shamayim. Therefore, stomach at Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, what we have in our Mishnah is a stam statement, like Rabbi Akiva, d'ama bidei shamayim, bidei adam ein bidei shamayim loy, who says that the soris not doing chalitza and not doing yibum is only when he that or rather that the soris who does do chalitza or yibum is only when he's a soris bidei adam but not bidei shamayim. So in other words, what we had is, this is an example of machloikas va'achakas stam, where we have a machloikas in the Mishnah, and after that we have a stam Mishnah according to one of those opinions, and we're saying the halacha like that. So it ends up that the halacha is indeed like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Eliezer. Then we said in the Mishnah, soris
shekolot. What's the status of a woman who had a female circumcision, like they did in certain Muslim countries?
Female circumcision is neither here nor there in halacha, because that means that they removed. I mean, well, there are different kinds actually, so I shouldn't say neither here nor there. If we're talking about the kind, for example, where they only remove the protruding part over there, the part that's analogous to the penis in a male, then the pashtus, that doesn't make a difference in halacha because the rest of the relevant parts are there. But it depends, I guess, exactly what it is. But we're not really getting into that because unless they remove the ovaries or something. Or unless they actually sew Oisei Makam Shot or something, then there's nothing to talk about. But in any case. All right. So the Mishnah had said a soris shecholot levimto leksolah chola. We said that if a soris does chalitza to his yavam, then nothing happens. He doesn't passel her to do chalitza with any of the other brothers or to marry a koyin if he dies afterwards, because his chalitza is useless, he being a soris. And similarly, we said, now the Mishnah had continued, on the other hand, if he has relations with her, then he does passel her. And here we're talking about a Swiss Adam. Here we're talking a Swiss Chama, actually. Again, according to Rabbi Akiva, that a Swiss Chama is not, that Chalitza and Yibum is not relevant to him. So if he does Chalitza, then it's a useless Chalitza, so therefore it doesn't matter. And if he does Yibum, then actually he's passeling her, because then it's Be'ilas Znus, because then to a pasul or to a koyin in the future, because after all, since there's no yibum, then there's the iser of having relations with his brother's wife. So the Gemara points out, time of the Ba'olahu, now the implication of Mishnah is because he had relations with her, then that creates a problem, because again, then now she becomes a Zoina, because she had relations with somebody where she's Chayiv Kares, where there's an Isur Kares, because again, where there's no Yibum, then there's the Isur of Eish HaSoch, which is one of the Arayas, which is Kares. But the implication is, if somebody else were to have relations with her, without Chalitza having been done, then we wouldn't say that she's Basel. Now, in that case, Lema Tevetiyov to Rav Hamnuna. Does that mean that our Mishnah contradicts Rav Hamnuna, the Omer Shemeres Yavam Shezinsa Psula Livam? He says, and we're going to have it several times in the, Perek after next, in the 10th Perek, that he says that if a Shemeres Yavam, while she's waiting for Yibum, if she is Mizana during that time, then she becomes Posel for her, then she becomes posel to do yibum, because he holds in effect that while she's in the state of zika, she's considered to a certain extent like an eishes ish. Now we know that if an eishes ish is mizana willingly, then she becomes also to her husband. If it was unwillingly, if it was forced, then she's also only if he was a koyin. In any case, Rav Hamnuna says, let's forget about the koyin matter for right now and focus on if her yavam is yisrael. Rav Hamnuna says the fact that she was Mizana during that time makes her also to him. Well, in that case, our Mishnah doesn't seem to be saying that, because our Mishnah is saying only because she had relations with her brother-in-law who was a Swiss Chama, only then does she become possible for Hona, implying that otherwise not. The answer is loy, not necessarily is that what the Mishnah is implying. Hu adin afilo la'acher nami. In fact, the Mishnah might mean that also, like Rav Hamnuna, that also if she's mizanet with somebody else, she also becomes aser. But I did But since the first part of the Mishnah is talking about him, because it's not really relevant to talk about if somebody off the street gives her chalitza. I mean, obviously such things could happen, but there's no reason for the Mishnah to discuss them. There's no chiddush that such a chalitza is invalid. So it mentions only him giving chalitza. So therefore, to keep it parallel, it also mentions about him doing bia with her and trying to do yibum with her, but not in fact to imply that if somebody else does, that it wouldn't, that if somebody else has relations with her, that it wouldn't passel her. In fact, according to Rav Hamnuna, it would, and our Mishnah is not really necessarily taking a stand on that one way or the other.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Our Mishnah says it exactly that.
Our Mishnah says that if the soris, and we're talking a Swiss Chama, shecholot v'yivimtai, loy psola, ba'ola psola. So if he does chalitza with her, he doesn't pass over to a koyin. But if he does be'ilah with her, then he does pass over. So now we can say, we're mentioning the part about chalitza and limiting it specifically to him, because there was a chiddush, even though he's her brother-in-law. And you would think that his chalitza should have some kind of effect, at least to the extent of passing her to a koyin. We're saying, no, he's completely out of the picture, because as a Swiss Chama, according to Rabbi Akiva, which again, he said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, then he's completely out of the picture as far as chalitza. Now, therefore, it comes out, ba'ola psola, that therefore, if he has relations with her, he passes her on the grounds of znus. But now, whether that last part would be true of other people as well, as Rav Hamnuna saying, or not, the Mishnah is not talking about that one way or the other. The Mishnah is not addressing that point at all. You can't infer anything, right? Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, then we said you have the parallel case where the woman was an Ilonis. We said if any of the brothers did chalitza for her, they didn't passel her. By the way, the expression is that the brothers in plural did chalitza for her. And the Aruch HaNer points out, it means even if all of them did, we're not going to say that. Sometimes we had earlier in the Masechta, the concept where sometimes there's chalitza psula, there's a chalitza that's flawed for one reason or another, for example, because Yibum can't take place. But we said the chalitza needs to be done with all the brothers, and then it's matter her. So here, you would think maybe if all of them did chalitza, maybe it has a certain effect. No, even if all of them do, they didn't passel her to a koyin, because again, since she's an Ilonis, then she's out of the picture completely as far as chalitza or yibum. And again, the Mishnah continued that if any of them had relations with her, then they passel her to a koyin for the same reason, because ve'ilas nus. Now, the Gemara points out, time of the baluha, so why is it that we're saying that she's passel to a koyin? In other words, if after that they die and now she's an almona and she's mutter to a koyin, haloi balu haloi. The implication is that if they didn't have relations with her, the fact that she's an Ilonis in and of itself does not pass over. Kiman Deloitte Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, showing that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, De'ir Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'oma Eloi Nesonehi, we had earlier on Daf Samach Aleph when we discussed the definition of a Zona, and we had six different opinions of Tanoim, what the definition of a Zona is, who's also to marry a Kohen. We have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda there, who says that an Ilonis is the definition of Zona, and he brings a positive to substantiate it, that when you have relations where conception, where having a child is impossible, then that's called, in a certain sense, Biasnus, and therefore he says that when the Torah bars a Kohen from marrying a Zona, that's what it means. But we see that our Mishnah is not like him, because according to him, an Ilonis would be also to a Kohen anyhow, regardless of whether there was Bia with any of the brothers or not. Again, you know, let's stress the point, which we mentioned at the time, that according to almost all these Tanoim, her being called a Zona doesn't require that it was willingly, doesn't require that she actually went and did something wrong. Certainly not if she's an Ilonis, because she's born that way, but according to many of the other definitions that we had also. For example, we said that a woman is raped and she's also to a Koyan, and she didn't do anything wrong, but nevertheless, she's still also. So it's a different kind of Zona, right? So in other words, yeah, there are definitely places where the word Zona means a woman who's doing it willingly. Sefer Mishlei is full of that, for example. The Navi Yumi criticizes the Jewish people and tells them, "Metzach isha Zona hayalach." You're out of forehead. That's you're showing yourself stubborn like an isha Zona. Right? There's no question. Obviously, in some places, the word Zona means somebody who is. Actually, we had that the other day. We had that in the Gemara about when David was looking to see why there's the drought. Is it maybe because of Znus? Because the Pasuk mentions over there that rain doesn't come because of that. So obviously, there's definitely places where the word Zona means that. We're talking about in connection with the dinim of a Koyan, does it have, what's the definition of that? And we had six different experts. We had six different definitions. The halacha is a Zona is any woman who had relations with somebody who is also to her. As well as we said, a goy or an eved, even though goy or an eved are not the Torah's gittin to kiddushin, we said that they're if she has relations with them as well, then it also passes her lakuna. Yeah.
Is there any other implications in halacha for a zona?
As far as I know, no. Just that. Just for Christ.
Okay.
Mishnah says, continuing on the topic of Swiss Chama Koyin Shanosa Bas Yisrael. Now, at the beginning of the Perek, we talked about a Swiss Adam. We talked about a Tzur Daka, who's a Koyin, and what the dinim are in terms of his family eating Truma. So we said that he and his Avodim can eat Truma, no problem, but his wife, you have a problem, because the next time he does Bia with her, he's going to pass on her. But now, a Swiss Chama doesn't have any of those issues, because a Swiss Chama is able to marry whoever he wants. There's no issue, he's not a Tzur Daka, he's not a Purus Shafa. There's just something else wrong with his body. So therefore, he's allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. He doesn't pass her. So Swiss Chama Koyin, Shanos a Bas Yisrael. So if a Swiss Chama, who's a Koyin, marries a regular Jewish woman, Machila B'Truma, he can give her Truma to eat. We don't say, in other words, as the Gemara is going to say, we're not going to say that only somebody who's able to father children is able to give his wife Truma. So that part everybody agrees to. Now, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Omerim. So now, in addition, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, Androgynous Koyin Shanasa Bas Yisrael, Machila B'Truma. Now, what about a Koyin who is an androgynous? So now we're going to talk in the Mishnah about the famous pair, the Tumtum and Androgynous. So a Tumtum is somebody who, so first let's talk about the androgynous, since he's first in the Mishnah. An androgynous is somebody who has the genitals of both males and females. It's a very, very rare thing, obviously, but it does happen in somehow or other. Medically, what it is when a baby is first formed in the womb, it actually has structures that could develop into both the male and the female organs, and normally what happens is, based on the hormones that are produced by the baby will develop either testicles or ovaries, as the case may be, and those will start putting out the hormones that guide the rest of the development of the body and the development of the various structures. Sometimes it happens that something goes wrong over there, and therefore you wind up with both. Anyway, so, and now the point is, the question is basically, is an androgynous a man, or is it a woman? Or is it both, or is it neither? There's actually, in the standard printed Mishnayos, at the end of Masech, the Bikurim, there's a chapter appended over there, which is not part of the actual Mishnayos, it's actually a collection of Brises, which goes through this and says there are certain ways in which an androgynous is like a man, certain ways in which the androgynous is like a woman, certain ways in which like both, and certain ways in which like neither. So now, In our Mishnah, Rav Yossi, Rav Shimon Omim, androgynous Kohen Shanasa Bas Yisrael. So now, if an androgynous who's a Kohen marries a woman, Machila Bitruma, he can give her Truma to eat. Now, what kind of Truma are we talking about? So Rashi says it can't be Truma. The Gemara is going to establish soon that we can't be talking about, we can't be talking about Truma Daraisa. Because if so that's actually what the Gemara is going to soon say. We're going to have a Machlokes Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish on it. But on the face of it, the Mishnah can't be talking about Truma Daraisa, because after all, if the androgynous is a Suffolk Zohar, Suffolk Nekeva, then he may be married to this woman, he may not. A woman can't marry a woman in Halacha. So how could he give her Truma Daraisa? Truma Darabanan, Mela, he could give her, because there's the Chachamim who made it. You have to give Truma on these things. They can also say that, we'll allow the androgynous to be considered married. So Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon are saying that. So again, on the face of it, we're talking Truma Darabanan, but we're actually going to have Machloikas, Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish on it, whether maybe it applies even to Truma Daraisa. Next, Rav Yehuda Omer. Now, the next kind you have that's ambiguous is a tumtum, which we talked about previously in the Masechta. A tumtum is the word comes from, it's related to the word timtum alev and other such things. A tumtum is somebody where his genitals are covered up with flesh such that you can't tell whether it's a male or a female. Now, sometimes that can be that covering can be cut open, and then underneath it you'll find the organs for a zohar or for a nekeva. But right now, until you do, he's a suffer. So now, tumtum, as far as an androgynous, by the way, the word androgynous in and of itself comes from Greek. Andro means man, and gynous means woman. Although there is an interesting thing that's pointed out in some Sfarim, the word androgynous actually has the same gematria as the words zohar or nekeva. Anyway. So tumtum shenikra v'nimtza zohar. So now, if a tumtum was cut, if that area was cut open, and it turned out to be a man, lo yachloit. So now, lo yachloit v'neishu kisris. So now, so even though now we know he's a man, so if there comes up a case of chalitza, he should not do chalitza because he's like a Swiss. Because once he was born as a tumtum, then again it means something obviously went very wrong during his development that it's covered up like that, and therefore it means that he's the equivalent of a Swiss. He's not going to be able to father children, and again then therefore he's out of the picture as far as chalitza and yibum. Why again, like Rabbi Akiva in the previous Mishnah, that a Swiss chama is out of the picture as far as chalitza and yibum. So Rabbi Yehuda is mentioning that point. Continues the Mishnah, androgynous noisei avaloi misa. Now, we're saying an androgynous is a suffolk man, suffolk woman, or maybe even the possibility is, again, he might even be sort of almost like a third gender, berry of a fiance. He might be like neither male nor female, but rather something unique. So now, when it comes to marriage, so what do we consider him a man or a woman? So noisei, he marries a wife, avaloi misa. But he is not married, he's not taken in marriage like a woman. Because, in other words, if he's a man, then he can marry a woman, no problem. If it's a woman, now, we learned a few days ago, women are not supposed to be having relations together either, but maximum, we said, it's prisusa ba'alma. It doesn't actually aster them to a koyan. It's just prisus. As opposed to the androgynous, if we consider him a man, and another man marries him, then you have a problem with Mishkav Zohar, which is an Isu Daraisa and a Fiyu Kardis. So in fact, so therefore, he can marry a wife, but he cannot be married as a wife. Rabbi Lazar, it says further over here, goes further and says, androgynous kayoven olav skila kezohar. In fact, if a man were to have relations with an androgynous, he would actually be chayev skila, just as if it was a regular male. We'll see in the Gemara on Daf Pei Gimel, we'll discuss the machlokes between them of what exactly Rabbi Eliezer, what exactly the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Eliezer considers the androgynous to be. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Pshita. Now, the first part of the mission, we said a Swiss Chama's wife, if he's a Kohen, is allowed to eat Truma. Isn't that obvious? Why would we think otherwise? The answer is, Maudetema, because without the Mishnah telling us, you might have thought, moilid machu, maybe only a man who's potent and is capable of fathering children can give truma to his wife. She'enei moilid enei machil, but if he's not, then not. Because after all, the pasuk says v'lid beisoi hein yechlo b'lachmo, meaning that the children who are born in his house are allowed to eat truma, and the avodim who are born in his house are allowed to eat truma. So you would think maybe to make a deal from that, that not only that means he has to be able to father children, and that would mean that a suis chama would be out. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling us kamash malon. The Mishnah is telling us that's not so. And the Mishnah, that's not so. And in fact, the Swiss Kama is able to. The Swiss Adam, again, as we said earlier at the beginning of the parak, there you have a different issue, because as soon as he has relations with his wife, he's going to postle her. And we said there might even be the possibility that maybe she's postle right away, because Mishtameris would be a psula, because since the next Bia is going to postle her, then maybe already now he's postle. We talked about that previously on Daf Ayin Ayin Aleph. Next, we said in the Mishnah of Yosi, Rav Shimon, Omer Mandroginus, that we said in Mandroginus, Rav Yosi, and Rav Shimon says his wife is able to eat truma. So what kind of truma are we talking about? Omer Shlokish Machila b'truma, ve'in Machila b'choz of a shoit. Now, he can give her truma to eat, but he cannot give her choz of a shoit. We know that the Kohenim get portions from a Kohen Shlomim. And as we say every day in davening, that those portions are ne'cholin l'nshayim v'levneim v'lavdeim, they can be eaten by their wives and their slaves and their children. But so now, so Rish Lakish is saying that this Kohen, Androgynous, who's married to a woman, then he can give her truma, but if they give him a portion from a, if he receives a portion, if he receives chaz of a shoik from a korban, now obviously he's not bringing the korban, he's not one of the korban who's bringing the korban, he's a bal mum, the Gemara phrases it elsewhere, in lecha bal mum, godom is there, there's no greater mum than something like that, but nevertheless, like a korban bal mum, he is able to receive a portion of kodshim, so if he receives that though, he cannot give that to his wife to eat. Rabbi Yochanan says no, he could even give her chaz v'shoik. So the Gemara asks, "Lo shlokish ma'ishna chaz v'shoik da'raisa." So what are you telling me? Says that. So what are you telling me? The shlokish that he can't give her chaz v'shoik. Presumably the reason is because those are available to the Kohenim and their families only on da'raisa level, and therefore again, since we have a suffix, whether the androgynous is a man or a woman, and therefore whether his wife is even married to him or not. Then therefore we would say that you can't give a chaz v'shoik. Well, truma nami daraisa. Truma is also daraisa. So why would there be the difference? And the answer is, hochab ma'eskin v'truma v'zman hazeh d'rabon. The answer is that Rish Lakish would say, you're right, we're not talking about truma daraisa. Rish Lakish would say that the Mishnah is talking about truma d'rabon. So that's what it means. In other words, so truma d'rabbanon he can give her, but anything d'araisa he can't. So chaz v'shoik is an example of something d'araisa, but in fact the same thing would apply to truma. The same thing would apply to truma that is d'araisa. Now the Gemara is saying over here, according to Rish Lakish, that truma b'zman hazeh d'rabbanon. We're going to say soon, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with that. Usually we have a rule that when there's machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, we usually pass him like Rabbi Yochanan. However, here most of the Rishonim pass him like Rish Lakish, that in fact truma b'zman hazeh is d'rabbanon on the ground, and one point is because even though usually the halacha should be like Rabbi Yochanan, in this case they're not arguing about their own shittis, they're arguing how to understand our Mishnah, then therefore we can say that's an example where the halacha can be like Rish Lakish. So the majority of poskim paskin, there's three times where the halacha is like Rish Lakish outright, but then in addition, we have when they're arguing about how to understand the previous Tana, rather than an independent machlokas of their own, then the halacha may well be like Rish Lakish. So the Rambam brings an opinion that from the Ri that says that in fact it is nowadays Daraisa. And Tosfos discusses that over here, the possibility that maybe it is, at least the point that we're going to say in our Gemara, that Rabbi Yossi holds that way. And Tosfos discusses that the halacha is like that. That Amal says still they're not really noyig that nowadays. Everybody is noyig that to follow the first opinion and say that it's d'rabbanan. Within that itself, by the way, you have the question, what produce exactly is chayiv in truma d'rabbanan? You have is chayiv in truma d'araisa versus d'rabbanan. So you have two different opinions. Again, you have two different opinions in that among Rishonim. One opinion is that only Dogon Tirish V'Yitzchok, grain, grapes, and olives, are chayiv in Truma D'Oraisa. According to that opinion, all other fruits are chayiv only D'Rabbanon. And then on the other hand, you have an opinion that all fruits are chayiv D'Oraisa and only vegetables are D'Rabbanon. The Rambam, I think, holds the second way, that all fruits are D'Oraisa, and Rashi holds only Dogon Tirish V'Yitzchok. Bisman Hazeh, again, all of them are Dirabonon anyway, according to most Rishonim. So in the time when Bisman Shabes Mikdash Kayam, or actually it's not necessarily dependent on the Bis Mikdash standing, the Rambam seems to say it depends on the question of whether most of the Jewish people live in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so then Truma would be D'Oraisa, and then within that, then only certain kinds of produce would be D'Oraisa. Grain, grapes, and olives according to Rashi, all fruits according to the Rambam. Then, nowadays, when the Bisman Shein Bis Mikdash Kayam, or Bisman, with that most Jewish people don't live in Eretz Yisrael, then you have a machlokes, whether it's D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanon, whether the things that were D'Oraisa before continue to be D'Oraisa, or whether even those are now D'Rabbanon, Rish Lakish holds that they're all D'Rabbanon. And then again, most of the Rishonim hold like him. So now, the Gemara asks, Avo Bisman Shein Bis Mikdash Kayam Mai? So you're telling me that what? When the Bis Mikdash is standing, then this androgynous cannot give his wife Truma, because then Truma is D'Oraisa. Well then, Adatoni, Ein Machilah B'Chaz V'Shoik. Then why is Rish Lakish mentioning the point about Chaz V'Shoik? Literally, the listening video. Let Rish Lakish point out the distinction within Truma itself. Let him say, Bamed Varam Amor, B'Truma D'Rabbanon, Av B'Truma D'Oraisa Loi. Let Rish Lakish clearly say that what we're saying in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon are allowing the wife of an androgynous to eat Truma, would only be with Truma D'Rabbanon, but not D'Oraisa. Why instead is he bringing in Chaz B'Shoit? And the answer is, Hochi Nami Palmer. Actually, that is what Rish Lakish means. What he means is, Truma Achila, when he gives her Truma, Ma'achila B'Truma B'Zman Hazeh, he can only give her Truma of nowadays, which is D'Rabbanon, but it means that when the Chazer Shoik is in effect, meaning when there's a Bis Mikdash and Korbanos Shlomim are being bought, then he cannot give her Vachtila B'Truma D'Rabbanon, then he can't even give her Truma D'Rabbanon. For example, at that time, he wouldn't be able to give her Truma of vegetables, let's say, where vegetables are, where vegetables are D'Rabbanon according to everybody. So then he wouldn't be able to Dilma Osi La Oichla B'Truma D'Oraisa, because then he might end up getting confused and giving her Truma D'Oraisa. So by Rish Lakish mentioning Chaz V'Shoik, he doesn't mean that there's a difference between Truma and Chaz V'Shoik. He's using Chaz V'Shoik as a shorthand term for when Truma exists on a D'Oraisa level. When is that? When there's Chaz V'Shoik. So when there's Chaz V'Shoik, then all Truma is off limits to her, because on a D'Oraisa level, we can't give her, because she might not be the wife of a Kohen at all, because he himself, the androgynous himself, might actually be a woman. So therefore, Truma D'Oraisa is out. Only when there's no Chaz V'Shoik, so Ein Ma'achilah B'Chaz V'Shoik means nowadays, when there's no Chaz V'Shoik to give her, because there's no Shlomim, then he can give her Truma D'Rabbanon. So now the question becomes how Rish Lakish knows that how Rish Lakish knows to make this distinction. After all, the Gemara didn't say any such thing. So Tosfos discusses one reason is because later on in the sugya we're going to talk about Rabbi Yossi himself holds that an androgynous is a suffix. Well, then, if he holds that an androgynous is a suffix, he can't very well have that the androgynous's wife should be able to eat Truma D'Oraisa. Maximum we can say is Truma D'Rabbanon. Then Tosfos goes on to discuss that according to Rabbi Yossi, Truma Bisman Hazeh would be D'Oraisa, but maybe not. So that's one way that Rish Lakish would know that our Mishnah has to be talking about Truma D'Rabbanon and allowing her to eat only Truma D'Rabbanon, because Rabbi Yossi is one of the Chachamim who says, in fact, that an androgynous is a suffix. And then there are a few other answers as well. One point is since we have Rabbi Yehuda later on in the sugya is going to be arguing. So one possibility is that when Rabbi Yehuda says something, often his bar plugda is Rabbi Yossi, and therefore that would be the Rabbi Yossi who says in our Mishnah. On the other hand, though, the Rosh disagrees with that. He points out that actually we find in Shas that when Rabbi Yehuda has machlokes with the Tana, it's usually Rabbi Meir, not Rabbi Yossi. So, in any case, Tosfos says that apparently, Rish Lakish had had the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, that that's how it is, that we're talking about Truma, Durabonim. So that's Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, no, the androgynous can give his wife Truma to eat, even Truma on a Daraisa level, and even Chaz v'Shoich, which exists on a Daraisa level. So, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, mi sabr Truma b'zman hazeh d'rabbanan, does that mean, says Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish, that you hold that nowadays, when there's no Beis Mikdash, or when most of the Jewish people don't live in Eretz Yisrael, you're holding that Truma is d'rabbanan, and you're saying, therefore, that our Mishnah is talking about all kinds of Truma nowadays, which are d'rabbanan? In other words, as opposed to, you might well have said that our Mishnah is allowing her only Truma d'rabbanan, but maybe, for example, only Truma of vegetables. Now, like this, what did we say? Rish Lakish had said that when there's Truma d'Araisa, then all Truma is off limits to her. Only when all Truma is d'rabbanan, only then is Truma mutter to her, because we don't want people to get confused and between Truma d'Araisa and d'rabbanan. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is telling Rish Lakish, you don't have to understand it that way. You could equally well understand it that Truma exists nowadays, even Daraisa. But again, that there are some things that are Chayav Daraisa and some things that are Chayav Darabonon. Namely, according to Rashi, grain, grapes, and olives Daraisa and everything else Darabonon. Or according to the Rambam, all tree fruits Daraisa and everything else Darabonon. And vegetables Darabonon. So Rabbi Yochanan says, why don't you understand the Mishnah that way? So your premise is that Truma b'zman hazeh of everything is only d'rabbanan. Where are you getting that from? Amalei ein. And Rish Lakish says yes. As a matter of fact, that is how I learned. That is how I hold. Shani shona igul b'igulim oila. And the reason is because I teach a b'raisa, or I learn, or I teach a b'raisa that talks about an igul, a round cake of pressed figs of Truma that was mixed up with igulim, with other such round cakes of figs. And we talk about it being bottled. So there's two possibilities. With Truma, usually you need a larger amount. Usually you say things are bottled with shish. When it comes to Truma, instead you need bittul b'meya. You need 100 times as much chulin to be mevatel the Truma, and then it's mutter to zorim to eat. Otherwise, then what you do is you take out one from the mixture, give it to the kohen, so that the kohenim are not being deprived of it. It's called gezel hashevet. But other than that, you're allowed to eat the rest. Otherwise, other than that, the zor is allowed to eat the rest of it. But if there was less than 100 times as much chulin, then the whole mixture becomes also for zorim to eat. And then what you have to do is you have to sell it to kohenim and throw in the one for free. So let's say, for example, one eagle of truma fell into, let's say, 90 eagulim of chulin. So now you have 91 altogether, and you can't tell which one is the truma one. You would sell them all to kohenim for the price of 90, and you throw in the one in free, because after all, the one is truma and it belongs to them. You'd sell it to them for the price of 90, and within that, you'd sell it to them for the price of 90 units of truma. Truma costs less, right? Because only
Truma price for regular.
You're getting truma price for the 90, and you're throwing in the one for free.
You got a big haircut.
Yeah, but nevertheless, so we're going to talk about later on how about hefs and meruba versus hefs and muat. But yeah, anyway. So Rish Lakish says, I have a braisa that talks about a cake of figs of truma that falls into other cakes of figs of truma. So now we can talk about that if there's 100 times as much cholin, which Rashi says there are two possibilities. One can be that we're talking about truma versus cholin. The other one can be where one of them is truma tmeya and the other ones are truma tahora, where there at least what it gains is because you have 100 times, then that allows us to say it's bottle and not have to worry about the fact that it's truma tmeya. Had it been less than 100, we would consider the whole thing to be truma tmeya and no kohen can eat it, because we learned a few days ago that truma tmeya, there's an isser eser on eating it. But it can be bottle and 100 times as much. Now, the point is, two things. An eagle is a dover choshev. It's something that's usually sold by number. This is what we're going to be discussing in the Gemara now in the Sugya. You have things that are usually sold, that's what we're going to talk about. You have things that are sold by number, and you have things that are sold by weight. Most commodities are sold by weight. But you have certain things, eggs are an example, we're going to have other examples in the Gemara soon, which are sold by number. We're going to have soon in a list where things that are sold by number. Yeah, that's the same list from Cholin and from Orlan. We'll get to it soon. Yeah. So now the Shlokish says an eagle dvela is a double kosher. It's something that's sold by number. It's usually sold by number. Therefore, it shouldn't be bottled. Even in 100. Now, on the other hand, the truma of figs is derabanan. But if we say that if that's according to Rashi's shita, that only grain, grapes, and olives are chayiv minatorza. But when truma daraisa is in effect, then we would make a zera again that we would say that even something that's only chayiv and truma derabanan would not be bottle because it might be confused with something daraisa. So therefore, Rosh Lakish says, given that we say igul be igulim oila, since we say that it can come up, meaning that it can be bottle, that requires us to say that nowadays truma is derabanan. Because if truma had still been daraisa nowadays, since we're talking about a davar chashuv, then it wouldn't be bottle because we wouldn't want any kind of truma to, even if it's only derabanan, to be bottle because it might be confused with truma daraisa. But since nowadays, says Rosh Lakish, all truma is derabanan, then there's no problem.
How did the other people learn?
So that's how Rabbi Yochanan is going to explain that. That's what we're going to say now. But Tosfos also points out, so what? Now we're going to discuss in the sugya, another point is we're going to have a machloikas. Does this issue of not being bottle apply to any davar shebeminyan, or does it apply only to a certain list of things, like the pomegranates, a badan that you just mentioned, for example? So maybe the shlokish's braisa holds like that. Tosfos says that in that case, then he wouldn't have mentioned iguli dvela, which are only chayiv and truma derabanan. Instead, he would have mentioned something which is also daraisa, for example, an egg from a non-kosher animal, from a non-kosher bird. And then, since he didn't mention that, then it implies that we're talking about that the reason why it's mutter is only because nowadays truma is derabanan. So Rabbi Yechanan tells him, what do you mean though? I have a braisa that teaches us that even in things that are daraisa, it can be bottled. Even if you have a piece of meat of chatas that got mixed up with other pieces, for example, a piece of chatas that became tamei, where you have to burn it, got mixed up with other pieces of meat, of chulin or of chatas, as the case may be, that are tohur. So then, Rabbi Yochanan says, I have a braisa that says that it's bottle. Now, obviously, they were talking something daraisa, and even though a piece of meat is a davar choshuv, it's chaticha ruy l'iskabed, nevertheless, it's still bottle. And the reason is, because he says, mi sabret kol shadarki limonis sheninu, because Rabbi Yochanan continues to Rish Lakish, you think that the rule is anything which sometimes is, or often is counted, is not bottle. No, that's not the rule. The rule is, the Mishnah that you're referring to in a Mishnah in Orla, which, yeah, is also brought, I don't know if it's brought in Fulin, actually, on the side of it here, it brings Zvachim, Beitza, and Orla, but not Fulin. Whatever, anyway. The concept of Bittel, of course, comes up in Fulin, but in other contexts. But anyway. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no. The correct wording of the Mishnah is not kol shadarka limonis, but rather es shadarka limonis. Only things that are exclusively sold by number, not things that most of the times are sold by number, but not always. So now when it comes to igulei dveva, and when it comes to slice the meat, yes, usually they're sold by number, but not always. Sometimes they're just sold, sometimes you just have a large shipment of them, and you just sell them, you just estimate how much there is over there, and you sell them. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, so your proof for Rish Lakish from igulei dveva is not a proof. Igulei dveva are not considered something that wouldn't be bottle. Therefore, even if truma is daraisa, they're able to be bottle. So you have no proof from there that truma is derabanan. So the same way as slices of meat, which are definitely, when you're talking about chatas, it's definitely daraisa, and we can say that it's bottle. So maihi, what is Rabbi Yechanan referring to? So detna, we learn a Mishnah in Orla. If a person has bundles of tilton, which is in English it's called fenugreek. You find it it's an herb that has like sort of triangular shaped seeds that have a sharp taste to them. They use them as a spice. In particular, in Yemenite cooking, they use it a lot. They call it khilba. Anyway, it's an herb. It's a vegetable. Yeah. Anyway, so
it's fenugreek.
Yeah. So. Yeah, okay, so anyway, the point is that if a person has that, now it's considered a vegetable. So therefore, if it's grown in a vineyard, then it's going to be also as kalaya kerem. Because the rule is that kalaya kerem, any vegetables or herbs or grain that's grown in a vineyard near vines becomes also, and you have to, and it's also bana. So if a person has bundles of tilton, shel kalaya kerem, yidoku, then you have to burn them because that's what you have to do with kalaya kerem. If then those bundles get mixed up with other bundles, kulam yidoku, divid a mayor, then a mayor says all of them have to be burnt. Because he would say that they're not bottled. Because, as the Mishnah is going to continue, the mayor says that anything that's sold by number is not bottled. So now, Talaya Kerem Rashi points out, they could be bottle, but you would need 200 to be mevatel then. When it comes to Truma, you need 100. When it comes to Kalaya Kerem and Orla, then you need 200. Rashi refers to a Gemara in Psachim that gives a pasuk in Yechezkel that gives a hint to that, because it mentioned Mina Mosayim. That may also be in Holden, I don't know. I guess Holden is your specialty, but yeah. Okay. I don't remember, but okay, it's very possible. Anyway. But the Rambam gives a logical reason for it also. Given that Kalaya Kerem have an additional Chumrah over Truma, you think about it, Truma is also Tzorin, where it's Mutzitkoidin. Kalaya Kerem and Orla are also even Bamna, so therefore the Chachamim upped it from 100 to 200. Anyway, the point is, Reb Meir is saying, yes, normally Orla and Kalaya Kerem can be bottled in 200, but in this case, because it's something that's sold by number, because it's a bundle of Tilton, and such bundles are sold by number, then Reb Meir says it's considered a Dabur Choshuv, and therefore it can't be bottled. Reb Meir is saying that, Tosfos points out, by the way, that it's one thing with Kalaya Kerem. You can talk about the question of whether Kalaya Kerem applies nowadays, Daraisa, but you could say that when the Bais Mikdash is standing, it's Daraisa, nowadays it's only Drabanon, but the Eagle Dvela is Drabanon on two grounds. Number one, because the Bais Mikdash is destroyed, and number two, because, according to Rashi, anyway, it's the Truma of figs and other things that are not grain, grapes, and olives, is only Drabanon. So the mayor says, therefore, that those bundles are not bottled. The Chachamim say they can be brought out with 200, meaning if there were 200 more bundles that were not Kalaya Kerem, then you can be mevatel this one, and then you just take, and now, in the case of Truma, you actually have to take one out and give it to the Kohen. In the case of Kalaya Kerem, obviously you don't have to do that. I don't remember actually if you have to take one out and burn it. I don't think so, because once it's bottled, and it's not like you have to. Yeah, but in any case, the point is that it is bottled by Masayim. Now, Shahoyer Rav Meir Omer. Now, the reason why the mayor says that you have to burn it, because he says kol shadarkeli manis mekadesh. Anything which is regularly counted is mekadesh. Mekadesh actually means that it makes it off limits, because that's actually the expression in the pasuk about Kalaya Kerem is pen tikdash hamaleya, where it means the word kodesh. Usually the word kodesh means holy, but basically the word kodesh means off limits. So something that's kodesh is called that because it's off limits to be used for mundane purposes, but sometimes we also use it to mean off limits in a negative sense. A kadesha, for example, and here we have the word kodesh means that it's off limits like that. And also, the Gemara elsewhere darshins also that the word pen tikdash is short for pen tukad esh. It'll be burnt in fire, which is where we learn that Orla and Kalaya Kerem, in particular has to be burnt. So anyway, so the mayor says that because these bundles of tilton are something that regularly are sold by number, then therefore it's Makadish. It puts off limits no matter how many it falls into. Even if it's 200, even if it's 300, it's never bottled. The Chum say no, it's only that only six things are Makadish, only six things are never bottled. Rav Akiva Omer Shiva, and Rav Akiva says, I agree with the six of the Chachamim, but I add a seventh. Elohein, and the six are Egoze Perech, nuts of Perech. So Rashi explains that Perech is the name of a place. Tosfos brings that actually Perech means easily breakable. It means that these are nuts whose shells are easily breakable. The point is, we're going to say that all these things that we're listing over here are all considered very important things. So therefore, these are all things. Because of their chashivos, then they're not bottled. So these are gozek perach, according to Rashi, because they're very high quality, because they come from a certain place. And according to Tosfos, because they're high quality in the sense that they're easy to break open, then therefore they have a certain chashivos and they're never bottled. What a gozek perach could be, to think of it in modern terms, one possibility is it might be coconuts, another possibility is it might be peanuts. Yeah, maybe coconuts or peanuts or something. Anyway, so that's the first one. Vidimoni bodon. The second one is pomegranates for bodon. And here everybody agrees that the word bodon is the name of a place. So the pomegranates from there were very high quality. Vachovius stumus, sealed barrels of wine. So once the barrel is open, it loses its chivus, but as long as it's sealed, then it's still considered important. Next, the chilfe trodin, then the leaves of trodin are beets or something in that family, and the leaves of them, were considered something very important. The kulche kruv, and cabbages. In particular, the Gemara mentions elsewhere the cabbages that grew in Eretz Yisrael would grow the size of trees elsewhere, so they were considered extremely chashuv. In other words, the heads of cabbage, chashuv would grow very, very large.
Well,
7.5. Udlas Yevonis and Greek squash, which again we find in various places, in particular in Seder Zerayim, that Greek squash was a particularly large, and then where there was a particularly large kind of squash and had very large leaves that easily blended in with other plants nearby. So the point is, again, all of these are big, important kinds of things, and therefore they're not bottled. Rav Akiva Moisif Akikris Shabalabais. Rav Akiva adds a seventh one, also loaves of bread that were baked by a balabais, as opposed to ones that were baked by a commercial baker. The Mishnah continues. Now, in this list of six or seven things, not all of them are relevant to Urla, and not all of them are relevant to Kalaya Kerem, because Urla applies only to trees, and Kalaya Kerem applies only to vegetables and grains and whatnot. So therefore, of this list, some of them are relevant to Urla. The Agoze Perech, if we say, for example, the coconuts or something, then they grow on a tree. The Rimoni Bodon, the same thing. The Chobius Stumus, so made of wine, it's also something to which Urla applies. And a point about Kiva, also the Kikwas Shop. No, so that's it. Those three we can talk about Urla. And then the other ones, the Chilfe Trodin, are vegetable, the Kulche Kruv, the Blas Yavonis, are all vegetables, and according to Rabbi Akiva, Kikras Shabalabais, which are made from wheat. All of those, Urla is not relevant to them, but Kilaya Kerem is. If they're planted in a vineyard, then they become also. So that's what we mean. The rules apply to both of them, but which specific Isser was it that caused the problem is going to be different with some of them versus others. So now that we have that Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan saw the Estradat with the Monashininu. So now Rabbi Yochanan learns that the rule is Estradat with the Monas, things that are exclusively sold by number. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan would say, when you have things that usually are sold by number, but sometimes not, sometimes they're just sold by weight, then therefore those can be bought. Resh Lakish Sava Kol Shadak to the Monas Shaninu, whereas Resh Lakish holds that means no, anything that even sometimes is sold by number. So now, returning to the discussion we said before about the Igol Shodvela, is an example of Kol Shadak to the Monas. It's something which is often sold by number, but not exclusively so. So now, Resh Lakish is going to hold that such a thing can't be bottled. Unless Truma is Derabanan. When, if Truma is Derabanan, then the Chachamim can allow it to be bottled. And therefore, when it comes to Kilaya Kerem and Urla with Deraisa, then we're not going to allow that. Again, Tosfa says, okay, maybe he would say, when nowadays that Kilaya Kerem is Derabanan, and since figs, no, so he would say that's the thing. That was what Tosfa said on Amar Aleph, that he would still say that we have to be Machmir with them. Now we have to be machmir with them according to the mayor anyway, even nowadays when Kilaya Kerem is only Drabonon, because after all, you only have one Drabonon as opposed to by Truma of figs. And you have two things, number one that Truma itself is Drabonon, and number two that Truma of figs, according to Rashi anyway, was always Drabonon. So now all of this is within Rav Meir's opinion, by the way. There is a machlokes rishonim, is the halacha in fact like Rav Meir or not? Now, one point is, so we have in the Mishnah a three-way machlokas. We have Rav Meir, we have the Chachamim, and we have Rav Akiva. There are Rishonim who paskin like each one of them, but the majority of Rishonim paskin like the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva, and most of the Rishonim after him and the poskim follow him. The Rambam explains, but actually, I shouldn't say that. The Mechaber brings the Rambam's opinion, and then I shouldn't say that at all. I was completely wrong about that. The Mechaber brings the Rambam's opinion. The Mechaber brings the Rambam's opinion, which is that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Only these seven things, so the six that the Tanakhama added, the six that the Tanakhama listed, plus bread from a balabais. The Rambam also adds, by the way, that it's not only these seven things. What we mean is these seven things in all times and all places are not bottled. But the Rambam adds, if you have anything else which has the same chashivus as these things had in those times, then that would also not be bottled. So, but the Rambam limits it to a certain list.
We always sell a loaf of bread.
Yeah, but with the loaves of Shabbat Abayas that were baked at home, we sell them by number. They're more choshev. We sell them by number, not yet. So that's how the Rambam holds. So the Mechaber in Yerodeh and Simon Kofiur and Chokstar Rovas brings the Rambam's opinion. On the other hand, the Rambam brings an opinion from the Ri that no, in fact, the halacha would be like Reb Meir, because the halacha would be like Reb Meir, and then within that you have the machlokas of Rish Lakish and Reb Yechanan, whether it's es shadak with imonis or kol shadak with imonis, whether we're talking about things that are exclusively sold by number or things that are often sold by number. But anyway, now why would the Rambam be saying the halacha is like Reb Akiva? Because usually the halacha is like Reb Akiva against an individual of the town who disagrees with him. So here, the Rambam would learn, apparently, he's not really disagreeing with the Chachamim, he's just adding a seventh item to their list. So he's arguing with Reb Meir. Fine, halacha k'Reb Akiva, mechaveh. Now we often have a rule that when the Amoraim are arguing within a certain opinion of a Tana, then it shows that the halacha is like him. Here we have Reb Yechanan and Rish Lakish arguing within Reb Meir's opinion. That might be a reason to say the halacha is like Reb Meir. And that is, in fact, why the Ri says that that is so. However, again, the Rambam disagrees with that and says that's not always a hard and fast rule. And here he says the halacha is like Reb Akiva, and the Mechaber brings that accordingly. But Pashtus, that would mean that nowadays that would be one of those things that Sfardim and Ashkenazim do differently. But I don't know how often enough it comes up to know whether there is in fact a difference in minhag in that. Anyway, so Reb Yochanan Sava es shadak limonis shenenu. So Reb Yochanan holds that the rule is anything which is exclusively counted is not bottle, but anything that's regularly counted but not exclusively can be bottle. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even a slice of meat of chatas can be bottle in other slices of meat, because even though it has kedusha daraisa, nevertheless it's not estradakulimonis. It's not something that is exclusively sold by number. Pieces of meat sometimes are sold by weight, therefore it can be bottle. Whereas Rish Lakish holds kol shadak limonis, so according to him, anything that sometimes is counted is not bottle. Therefore, according to him, in fact, slices of meat of truma could not be of chatas rather could not be bottle. And for the same reason, he would say igule dvela. If we were talking about something daraisa, they wouldn't be bottle only because igule dvela. First of all, dvela itself is chayiv in truma only dirabbanan according to Rashi. And second of all, according to what Rish Lakish is saying here in the Gemara, Truma nowadays is only the Rabbanon, then therefore it can be bottled. Okay, the Gemara says, "My Chaticha." Where do we see this discussion about, what's this discussion about a slice of meat of Chatas? What's the Braisa? So, Titania, Chaticha shol Chatas Tmeya, Kinis Arab Meya Chaticha shol Chatoris Tahoris. If a slice of chatas that was tamei, which is supposed to be burnt, gets mixed up with 100 slices of meat of chatas, which is tahor, v'chein prusa shalacham upon him tmeya, shenis arev meya prusa shalacham upon him tahoris. Or similarly, if you have a slice of lacham upon him, which was tamei, and got mixed up with 100 slices that are tahor, tala, so that it can be taken out. In other words, it can be bottled. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a loy tala. Rabbi Yehuda says it cannot. And the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says not is because he says, min b'mino loy bottle. He says that a thing can be bottle only in other things, not of its kind, but not when it's mixed into the same kind. But if a slice of chatas that was tahor gets mixed in with other with slices of chulin that are tahor, v'chein prusa shalacham apanim tahora, shenis arvav mei prusa shalachon tahoris, divrei hako loy tala. Everybody would agree that you do not take it out, meaning it's not bottled. Now, why not? Rabbi Yehuda certainly not, because Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'mino le'bato, so according to him it's not bato regardless. But even according to the Chachamim, that normally it would be bato, they would say in this case there's no real hefsed meruba, because after all, you could sell them to Koyanim, and Koyanim will be able to eat them. So therefore they're going to say we're not worried about a hefsed mu'ah. That's not reason enough to be mevatel something like lachem aponim or chatos, which has kedusha on a d'oraisa level. By the way, Tosfos learns that Rabbi Yehuda is not saying because min b'mino le'bato. Tosfos says that no, the reason is because Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rish Lakish. We said kol dover kol shadaka he held like Rabbi Meir, and like Rish Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Meir, kol shadaka limonis, anything that's often counted is not bato, and therefore he would say that it's not a bato. So again, we're saying that if the chatas was tahor or the lechem aponim was tahor and it got mixed up into other ones that are tahor, even the chachamim are going to say that you're not mevatel it, because it means you're going to have to sell them to Koyanim. You're going to have to take a little bit of a loss. Okay, but it's not such a big loss. It's not like as if the whole thing had to be burnt or destroyed or whatever, because it was tame. Where there we would say it could be bottle, but not over here. But not over here, right? Actually, Rashi explains that in the Reisha, it's not just a matter of hefsed merubah, it's a matter of that you're going to have to burn them, and you have hefsed kodshim. You have the fact that you're destroying kodshim unnecessarily, so therefore we would allow them to be bottled. But over here, where it's all tahor, nothing needs to be destroyed, you just need to give it or sell it to Koyanim. There's a hefsed mort involved, but big deal. Chachamim are not worried about that. Now, when it comes to the eagle dvela, that's different because, again, we're saying that the eagle dvela itself is only the rabbanim. Here we're talking about things that are daraisa. So therefore, katoni miyas reisha tala. We'll continue the discussion tomorrow, Bez Hashem. But anyway, the point is that that was the Braisa that Rabbi Yochanan brought, where we see, in other words, says Rabbi Yochanan, that even things daraisa can be bottled. So therefore, he says that that's what it means. So it's not like you, Rish Lakish, are saying that only because Truma nowadays is Drabonon can it be bottled. In fact, even things that are Chayiv and Truma or whatever, daraisa can be bottled. And you have the example of that over here. Now, we're going to ask, what about in the Reisha? Why are we saying, so now, according to the question is going to be now on Rish Lakish. If Rish Lakish says that things daraisa are not bottled, we said that if the lechem aponim, if the slice of lechem aponim, or the slice of chatas was tameh, then it is bottled. How does that fit with Rish Lakish's opinion? So that we'll discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, Bez Hashem.
Tomorrow,